It is the first Lord's Day of a new year. And I'm going to do something just a little bit different this morning. I've got a friend of mine that is a preacher in Kentucky that sends out an email every year that kind of gives his perspective, if you will, of how the world is looking right now and how the church is looking. And I'm going to read to you some of what he wrote to me. He said, "This year, 2020, will be remembered as one of the most unusual and tragic years in many ways during our lifetime. Satan maliciously promotes the darkness of sin and the discouragement resulting from disasters, disappointments, and death. His hand has surely been involved in the upheavals of this past year. His purpose is simple and straightforward: to destroy people's faith in God and thus to sweep them into the fires of eternal torment with him in the end." He says passages such as Isaiah 6 and Revelation 4 show that God always sits upon his throne to rule and overrule the affairs of earth life so as to fulfill his own purpose in spite of Satan's malice and fury. His highest purpose is to save us from our sins through Jesus Christ so that we will spend eternity in his loving fellowship in heaven. And he cites from Psalm 103, verses 13 through 19, and he says that this reassures us that as God rules over all things from his heavenly throne, he takes into account our frail existence, and he rules the universe so as to bless all who remember him, love him, and obey him. We should relate these verses to the events of this past year and realize that God is always fulfilling his good purpose for all of us. So Psalm 103, beginning in verse 13, reads this way: "As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. To such as keep his commandment and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all." As 2020 has ended and 2021 begins, you know, the president always has his State of the Union address. And he does this to give the country a feeling of where the country has been in the past year and where it's going in the year to come. So I'm not going to give you a State of the Union address. I'm going to give you a State of the Church address. And we're going to talk about Eastside this morning. As I think about 2020, several things come to mind. And as you look forward to 2021, it begins that as I hope you're thinking about the future, things about the church, things here at Eastside. I always believe that we can learn from the past so that we can possibly make our future better. Jesus said in Luke 9 and verse 62, that no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. But at the same time, the great preachers like Paul and Peter would use the history of the nation of Israel to teach a lesson. So I think we need to look at our past, not in a desirous way of wanting to go back, but to learn from our past. You know, people all the time are on Facebook, and they'll ask a silly question, at least it's silly in my mind. What would you do if you could go back to when you were 16 years old? Would you tell yourself, what five words would you give yourself as far as wisdom if you could go back to when you were 16? I don't want to go back to when I was 16. I don't want to relive those days. I might make worse mistakes going through it again than I did the first time. I don't believe that we look behind us and learn from our past mistakes. 2020 is behind us now. And we are focusing now on 2021. As I said, the New Testament letters gave us history lessons about the nation of Israel. Paul would write about the history of Israel in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I think what Jesus is telling us here in Luke 9 is to want our past life to teach us what we need to do in the future. So with that being said, what happened at Eastside in 2020? Can you name off the things that happened? Well, the biggest thing you did was hired a new preacher. When a congregation goes through stressful times, there are three times that are the most stressful for any congregation. One is a building project. Two is appointing new elders or elders in the first place. And the third one is hiring a new preacher. Hiring a new preacher was the stressful point for Eastside in 2020. Now, as you look back on 2020, some left because you hired a new preacher. They didn't necessarily tell us why, they just went away. And some of us know why they left, and we won't go into that. But sometimes these people are just looking for a reason to leave. And I think that may be some of the case that we looked at here. But also, we've lost loved ones. Wednesday, as I was preaching Miss Virginia's funeral, I got to reflecting back. And starting in January, a year ago, we began losing loved ones here. And I don't know how many we've lost. I really don't want to count. But we've lost loved ones. And when you look back on our life, we may look at it and think that we've lost more than our fair share, and it may not seem fair that we've lost certain loved ones. But that's not up to us. But it is part of our past here at Eastside. And it's something that I hope that we can strive to strengthen ourselves off of the ones that have left us. But you know, in a sense, they're not lost. They have left us. And hopefully, they and we will live our lives so that we can be reunited one day, gathered around God's throne, singing praises for all of eternity, and worshiping our Heavenly Father. But you know, all they've done is just left this world. And they have lived their life, hopefully, as I said, in a way that we'll be gathered together with them again. But you know, we always have our memories. And I'll just be honest with you. My mother's been gone for about 6 years. You still have memories, but those memories begin to fade just a little bit. And you have to struggle sometime to remember some of those things. But something will happen, a song will be sung, or somebody will say something, and that memory will click back just as bright as it was, as if though she had said it or done it yesterday. Another thing that happened in 2020 was COVID-19. The coronavirus hit the world with a vengeance. Some studies point out that it hit the northwest part of the country as early as February of 2020. And when it hit and spread like wildfire, so to speak. Well, it caused some issues. It seemed like the world hit the stop button and everything stopped in its tracks. It changed our way of thinking here as members at Eastside and other congregations as well, about how we associate with our brethren, how we have fellowship. You know, there's some congregations that as soon as the Lord's Supper is offered, the elders instruct you, do not linger. You leave and go to your car now and leave. You exit the building and leave. Don't even associate with anybody. It's changed how we shop. It's changed how we worship. And as far as the church here, it was affected as well. Some of our own members contracted this terrible disease, this virus. Others have been in association with some that had this virus and have had to quarantine. But it caused doors to be shut at times. And this caused some to question the decision. They called it persecution. The government said don't assemble, so that was religious persecution from the government. We had gospel meetings scheduled. Two gospel meetings and a summer series that were scheduled. And they were canceled because of the coronavirus. But a positive that came out of this coronavirus was the live stream. Some didn't like it. But it was a positive that we had from this virus. It is a wonderful tool when you think about it. Because if you can't associate, can't assemble with us for underlying health reasons or whatever, maybe you're at home with the virus, you can watch on your laptop or your smartphone the services now. So it is a wonderful tool. You're able to monitor how many are watching. I can go into the church website and I can tell you how many people generally are watching each Sunday. But it still doesn't replace the actual fellowship, the actual assembling of ourselves together. The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews 10 and verse 25, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. It's difficult to encourage someone when you can't be there in person. But like I say, the live stream is a necessary tool now because of this virus. And questions always come up about things. Questions come up about the virus. Some doubted at the beginning how close or how serious it actually was. And if I'm not mistaken, one of the elders in an announcement said something to this effect. And I won't say that this is exactly how he said it, but it doesn't seem bad until it affects someone close to you. At the time that we began to shut down, people were saying, well, I don't know that it's that serious. And now, how many people do you know of that have had the COVID? And how many do you know of that have passed away from it? I got a message yesterday evening on Facebook from a boy that I worked with at Cook's Pest Control that one of the ladies up front died yesterday from COVID. Shocked me. I just couldn't believe it. I mean, she was in her 70s, but she was always one of these feisty little old women that run around telling you what you needed to do. And then Tennessee, this past month or so, they said, became a hotspot. Of course, COVID in 2020 hampered the work to some degree. Individual studies, we still had some of those, but classes, we've had to have them and shut them down, start them, stuck, and back and forth. The visiting, I had high hopes when I came here in January that I would be able to go and visit people in their homes and in the nursing homes. I was able to visit Catherine McClenny early on with Brother Larry Williams. But others, as soon as we kind of hit the ground running, the COVID hit and the nursing homes were shut down and you couldn't go visit anybody. A lot has happened in 2020. But what can we expect in 2021? COVID's still here, probably will be here for quite a while. But I have some things in mind that I want to express to you that I look forward to in 2021. I see the church growing. Now granted, we're still gonna have the live stream. We're still gonna be scattered in our pews. We're still gonna have some that cannot be here because of health reasons. But I believe in growth at Eastside. I believe we will grow. We had a couple of baptisms in 2021. We've had some restorations of members in 2021. We had great participation in this monthly men's Bible study. I think we have had as many as 15 to 17 men there. And let me tell you, those you brethren that haven't been there, there is a lot of participation. And it's in such an informal way that every man there can be comfortable enough to speak up. We don't put any pressure on anybody. But I've seen growth from these men that do participate in this Bible study. I think it's a positive. We had a Bible study at the building here as well on the Christian graces that was well attended. Again, I think we had 15 to 17 people. We even had some people from other congregations that would come in and study with us. New members. We've had baptisms this month, this year. New members have been added through baptism, and new members have come and joined us. Converts and baptism, that's growth. And I see more growth in the future here at Eastside. So yes, I have high hopes for Eastside. Let me suggest to you that there is some encouragement here as well. Every time a public prayer is offered, my name and Marilyn's name is mentioned. You have no idea how much that encourages me and Marilyn, or Marilyn and I. It is such an encouragement to know that you mention us in your prayers. I've been greatly encouraged because of that. I mean, if you didn't like me or my preaching or Marilyn and her Bible class teaching, you wouldn't be mentioning us in the prayer. Again, we go back to the Hebrew writer in chapter 10 and verse 24. And he says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us consider how we may spur one another on. Another translation reads this way. Let us think about ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. It takes some effort to encourage other brethren and sisters. It takes some effort. It takes some thinking that I'm going to encourage brother so-and-so today or sister so-and-so today. Another translation reads, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that has promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Provoke, think about that. Usually when you hear the word provoke, it's provoke a fight. We need to provoke, push somebody along to encourage them. Be considerate of one another and encourage. Sometimes it takes a pushing, a gentle nudge to encourage others to do better. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 is another passage that comes to mind. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Let us do good to all people, especially the household of believers, the family of God. Our church family, if you will, should come first in our lives. But something else that I see happening in 2021 at Eastside are more studies. We are going to continue the men's Bible study. It was already announced this morning that we'll have it this Saturday, 8 o'clock. And some of you ladies may not know this, but Danny provides donuts and coffee. Sometimes, like I think it was last month, he provided country ham. So I'm not trying to tell you this to say that we're trying to bribe men into coming, but you do get a little sustenance when you get there. But I do see more studies. Paul wrote to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, and he says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Be diligent. The King James says, study to show yourself approved. We've got to put some effort. That's what the word diligent means. You've got to put some effort into your studies. But this passage carries a lot of weight with it. Be diligent. Put some effort into presenting yourself to God approved. Someone that doesn't have to be ashamed. Ashamed of what? Not knowing the truth? Not knowing the scriptures? I think it may be what Paul's alluding to here, because he says, not being no need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. If you don't know what God's word says, you're not going to handle it accurately. Study. Grow. And I think that we will have more studies. I'm planning to have another weekly study here at the building, so that we can maybe pick up another workbook and have as many that want to come and study with us again. We need to up our game in 2021. I've oftentimes been around people that have the attitude, well, I'm picking age, 75. I don't need to grow. I don't need to grow. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. That's hogwash. Everybody can study. Everybody can improve. We need to encourage one another to step up, to do more, to better ourselves in our service to the Lord. We need to attend more. You know, the elders haven't exactly said, don't show up on Sunday night and Wednesday night. They allow you, if you have a good internet service, to stay home and watch. But there are some that, as I look out, let me back up just a little bit. If there was no virus, I guarantee you there would be some who would not be here every service. And I think my personal opinion is that we use the virus as an escape to not be there. Well, the elder said, I don't have to be there except for Sunday morning. We need to up our game and attend more. We need to up our game and check on one another more. Make more phone calls. Send out cards. By the way, one of the things I'm going to do in 2021 is, if you're not here and we don't know why, I'm calling you. And I'm going to ask you why you missed services. Might have been you were sick and it just didn't get announced. Might have been you were out of town and it didn't get announced. Might be that you got your feelings hurt by something the preacher said, or one of the elders, or some of the members. So be ready, because Jeff's going to be calling and checking on people. We need to study more and pray more. Like I said, we'll be having another Bible study in the spring. And we'll be having as many personal Bible studies as time will allow. So when I look at the church at Eastside in 2021, ask yourself this question, these questions. Where will the church at Eastside be this year? If we do this again in 2022, what changes will you have made? Is the church going to grow? You know, the old statement is that the chain is only as strong as its weakest link. Eastside is only as strong as its weakest member. So, increase your study, increase your praying, so that you're not the weakest member. Up your game. Or when we get to 2022, are we going to look back and say, well, there's nothing changed at Eastside? I want to suggest to you that if it's going to grow, it means that I have to grow as an individual. You have to grow as an individual. I want to read a quote to you from Ralph Waldo Emerson. He says, unless you try to do something beyond what you have already mastered, you will never grow. You'll never grow. You know, I've told you that Billy Pruitt took me aside when we were younger. There were several of us, and put us in a classroom early on Sunday evenings, and he would teach us how to lead the singing. Well, the way that the old men used to lead the singing was, they'd get up and they'd sing the song by ear, the way they'd always sang it. My mama was the same way, bless her heart. She would want me to lead a song, and I'd say, Mama, I don't know it. She said, well, here, listen to the Porter Wagoner. or listen to the Chuck Wagon Gang. And I said, Mama, that ain't the same as the way it is in the book. And then as I grow, there are opportunities for me to go to singing schools. And churches bring in song leaders that know how to sing these songs. And they teach you how to pitch it. Brandon does a really good job at that. But they teach you how to use the hand motion. A 1-2-3-4 beat, or a 1-2 beat, or a 1-2-3 beat. What's wrong with learning how to do those things? Are you like that old 75-year-old man? You can't teach an old dog new tricks. Why can't we grow? Or, you know, if we're not going beyond what we've already accomplished and mastered, do you know another word for that? Stagnant. And in the old Westerns, if you run up on a pool of stagnant water, you didn't let your animals drink from it. You didn't drink from it because it was going to promote death. I don't want us to be stagnant. I want us to grow beyond what we've already accomplished. You ever see anybody that finishes their high school and then they go to college and they get their 4-year degree? You're like, man, that's an accomplishment. And then they turn around and say, well, I'm going to go back to college. Why? I'm going to get my master's degree. Well, okay, you go and you get that. And then you, wow, boy, that's another great accomplishment. Well, I'm going to go back to college. Why? Because they're never satisfied. They always want to do better. You can do better as a Christian. You can improve yourself. You can go beyond what you've already learned and mastered. As Ralph Waldo Emerson says, if you don't, you're not growing. A journalist and writer, Gail Sheehy, says, if we don't change, we don't grow. And if we don't grow, we're not really living. So ask yourself that question. If I'm not growing as a Christian, am I really living a Christian life? Am I satisfied to come in here every time the doors are open and sit down on my hands and do nothing and think that that's all I've got to do? I pray that everybody wants to grow. I'm going to walk around and I'm going to gently nudge people. Why don't you try this? Let me help you learn how to do this. Or if you want to learn maybe how to lead singing better, I will help you. I'm not the greatest, but I will help you. And if I can't help you learn how to be better song leaders, I know some great song leaders. I've talked to Danny about when things open back up. There's two in Murfreesboro that I'd love to get in here and teach us how to sing. Speaking of singing, we love to sing, don't we? This is yes, this is no. You know, if you don't like singing as a Christian, you're not going to like heaven. Because that's what we're promised, is to sing around the throne of God for eternity. If you're not here and you have a chance to listen to the live stream, listen to the congregational singing. I used to be impressed with Eastside and the singing. The congregational singing is kind of right now. It's not what it used to be. Why is that? Well, don't sit there and say, well, it's the song leader. No, it's not the song leader. Because I've sat here with these same song leaders, and they do a very good job. Some may be better than others. That's fine. Nobody's going to be equal. But we've got to lift up our voices. We need to raise the roof when we sing praises to God. You need to sound like you're happy that you are here. Or walking around like dead lice is falling off of you is more like it. We mumble more than we sing. You know, as we close out this lesson, everybody likes to make New Year resolutions. It's either about losing weight or doing better at this or doing better at that. But how many resolutions have we ever made that we've kept? Do we make any resolutions about improving our spiritual well-being? That's where we ought to make our resolutions. And I want to challenge everybody to grow and improve our own individual lives. Because when we do that, then the whole at Eastside will be stronger and better. And this will be extremely beneficial, not only to the church, but to you as well. And it will help make the church here to grow and to be more sound.